Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Aging in Place, the podcast. We're very excited. My friend Sean Stewart is here, custom audio video.
That's me.
I tell you what, I am more excited to talk to you. We have been trying to demystify, if you will, a little bit of aging in place. Yeah. And a lot of people think of it as you get older, you want to stay in your home. But you and I have talked about this, Sean, many times. It's really about being able to live in your home at any age universally, and we can all function there. And I have to admit that talking about technology is a little intimidating to me. So I'm going to ask you, before we even get started, to talk a little bit, Sean, about what you do and about custom audio video.
Yeah. So custom audio video is here in Bluffton, and we cover all kinds of things technology wise in the home. Now some things maybe kind of fit more in place with what we're trying to talk to about today, but
sure.
Overall we do, home theaters, audio systems, stereo systems, networking. So internet throughout your home. We'll talk more probably about automation and a lot of the smart home stuff that we do. Mm-hmm. We do lighting control. We do shade control. We can do furniture even when it comes down to good living room furniture that kind of fits with that home theater feel.
Exactly.
So we do all kinds of stuff.
And what is your role specifically? Because you have an interesting job there.
Yeah. So my role is kind of multifaceted in a lot of ways. I oversee the showroom. So if anybody was to come through during the week and just kind of want to see what we have, I'll probably be the one there waiting for them. Mm-hmm. But I also do a lot of this kind of stuff, kind of being the face, the voice of the company, talking a lot about what we do and working with architects, builders,
designers,
mm-hmm. Trying to more get the idea out there. A lot of what we do isn't necessarily common knowledge, but it's stuff that a lot of people, when they learn what we can do, they want it. And it's really cool stuff.
Exactly. And like I said, the psychology of technology in the home can be a little intimidating. And I think that if we can just bust a little stigma and demystify this, we will be good to go for a lot of people. Let's talk a little bit, if we can, about what an automated home looks like mm-hmm. throughout the ages.
Yeah. So first I want to distinguish, there's a big difference between smart home
okay.
and home automation.
Oh,
so, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
So smart home, the way to think of it more is a lot of different kind of subsystems.
Okay.
Right. So you can have smart lighting in your home.
Okay.
You can have multi-room audio. You can have shades that go up and down. You can have front door locks. You can have thermostat control, for instance. So these are all kind of individual subsystems, almost individual silos. Home automation is bringing them all together into one system.
Oh, wow.
So instead of having to go on your phone or your iPad and go, I want to turn on my lights, I want to change the thermostat, I need to unlock the front door. Home automation goes, when I come home with one command, whether it's just knowing that I'm home or a button that I hit, I'm going to open the shades, I'm going to turn on the lights, I'm going to change the thermostat, I'm going to unlock the door, do all those things. So that home automation is taking the smart home and making it even easier and more convenient.
Okay, so let's start at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I am a potential client. And again, I've got grandchildren and I've got aging adults in my home. How do I even begin? Where do I start? So I come to you and say, Sean, help. Here's what I've got. Here are my needs. Here is my home. What helps you? What do you need?
So from our standpoint, we've got some designers that are trained on all these systems to create these systems.
Okay.
To really figure out your needs, to help you understand what's out there.
Okay.
and kind of match what you want. The awesome thing about all this is it's very scalable. So if you want something very simple, or you want something that kind of covers the home in a lot of different ways, it's available.
So when cost is no object, you got it. When
exactly.
Cost is an object. Can you create a master plan and we can build on that too?
You can. Yeah. Now, of course, there are going to be some pieces that over time maybe change a little bit. So there's going to be more, cornerstone pieces that you want to put into place. And then little things you can add here or there as convenience or time.
You're so good. Cornerstone piece. Let's start at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So I walk in and I want to create an automated home.
Right. Yeah. Home automation.
Okay. I want home automation. I want Clementine, my 1-year-old, and my dad to be able to function, not equally, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
What would you recommend as a first step? It's a blank slate for you. So we're going to kind of do a wish list or a master plan, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We're building a home. We've got no walls or windows yet. Where do I want to start for universal design?
Yeah. Well, if you're starting that early, we always recommend starting with a good pre-wire.
Okay.
Wiring the home for the future. Things used to be kind of coax everywhere.
Okay.
But thankfully, we've moved to Ethernet Cat 5, Cat 6 is what it's called as well. And that can do a lot of different things.
So what do I do? Do I sit down with my architect, my builder, you? Do we come as a team and kind of decide what that's going to look like for us?
Yeah. So from our standpoint, we always say as early as we can get involved as possible is
okay.
The best.
Okay.
We have a lot of jobs that we start, and then there's a big period where maybe we're not doing work, but we've answered questions that don't have to be redone when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
So we can sit down with the plans and go, hey, this is where you want TVs. This is where you want shades. This is where you want lighting control. This is what we need to do to get all that done.
Do I have to have done research? Do I have to be an expert? Or am I really relying on you to help guide me as to what I need and can afford?
No, you don't have to do any research. Of course, we welcome it.
Sure.
If people are interested in it. We also have customers that go, you know what? I don't really want to worry about it.
I've got
my own thing. This is what you're for. And our guys, I happily say that nobody on our team is a salesman.
See, that's a really good thing.
Yeah, they're there to figure out what you need and what you really want
okay.
and help get to that point.
So let's talk about the different silos and the basic component pieces. Mm-hmm. What would you call a basic component piece for home automation?
Well, lighting control, for instance.
Okay.
Making it simple, we call it that critical path.
Okay.
Where are you going to? Where are you going to go from the time you come home? Whether you always come through the front door and you go to the living space, mm-hmm. or you come from mm-hmm. your garage and you go to the living space, what lights need to come on to make it very convenient for you to get in?
It's really interesting that you say that because we were talking on previous episodes mm-hmm. about the entry of a house is probably one of the most important things you can do for universal design and aging in place, making sure that you have safe access. And that's really what you're saying. So lighting would be the first, what did you call it, critical path?
Yeah, the critical path. Where are you going to walk pretty much every time you come in your home? Whether it's coming in the garage and going to the kitchen.
Okay.
And that's kind of where the hub is. I know that's how it pretty much works in my house.
Okay.
I come in, I go into the main living space.
So what do you have? Do you have something on your phone? Do you have a panel? What does all that look like?
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways to do it. The most common way is using your phone and setting up what's called a geofence. So essentially, when your phone recognizes you're within a certain area of your home, it's going to activate a system that is going to trigger certain things. In this case, turning on maybe your porch light and your entryway light and your kitchen lights so that when you come home, maybe you've got some groceries, you don't have
yes.
to worry about finding the switch. It's already on for you.
What a great age to live in because it's okay. So that's amazing. So now I've entered my home, my lights are on, and is it going to go ahead and take me through the critical path all the way back to my bathroom, my bedroom?
That really comes down to how in depth do you want to go?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, can you control every single light system in your house? Absolutely.
Really?
But not everybody wants
to put
that kind of cost into
it. That's right.
Right. Because do you really need to control your guest bedrooms?
Teenage bedrooms, that would be fun.
That does help, yeah.
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying.
Right.
So what I hear you say is lighting the critical path is probably the first thing we want to look at, a silo that we really want to take into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can build as much or as little as you want to do.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love it. We're going to take a quick break. We've got about a minute to go, but we're going to come back because I want to spend a little more time in this next segment talking about some of the other silos that we have for aging in place and technology. Mm-hmm. Again, we're with Sean Stewart, Custom Audio Video. Stay mm-hmm. with us. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on the Aging in Place podcast. We are here with Sean Stewart, and we are learning about technology as it affects your home at any stage in life, at any age. And Sean is a wonderful source for us to be talking to. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Actually, during the break, it was kind of fun because we were talking about whether it's an adolescent or a kid or someone who's broken their leg or an aging parent. Many times we're at home alone. And it's interesting to me because I don't think of cameras and looking in as something that you do or part of the technology.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of technology kind of evolved, I think, around this aging in place idea.
Okay.
But I think there's also just a lot of other technology that we have that can be kind of repurposed for what we're trying to do.
Perfect.
So, for instance, you mentioned cameras.
Right.
Surveillance. Of course you can do surveillance outside the house. You can do looking at your driveway to make sure that motion's coming in or out, or just making sure that there is no motion if you don't want people around your house. But then for kind of what we're talking about today, mm-hmm. there's also the monitoring side of it.
So what does that even mean?
Yeah. So one way to look at it would be, you know, we're here on Hilton Head right now.
Okay.
Let's say this is where my mom is or my grandmother is.
Okay.
But I live in Atlanta. I can't always keep an eye on her and make sure that she's fine, but I want to make sure that if something happens, I know at least as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So with some programming, for instance, you can have a camera that looks over a common space in the home and it has a way to detect motion. And if it doesn't detect motion for a certain amount of time, you can set an alarm to alert me, for instance,
okay.
and go, you know what? I need to check on mom.
Hadn't heard because, from her for a while.
Yeah,
hadn't
no
seen
motion. Right. And that way it's kind of, you know, you don't have to worry about it because there's something watching that's taking care and you don't have to have that constant worry of, do I need to check on her now? Do I need to check on her now? Because, I mean, of course you should call your mom anytime,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to worry about it because that's where technology comes into help.
And all this again can be tied in and pulled mm-hmm. into our.
Yeah. To home automation.
Yeah. I'm going to get this by the end of this. This is my project to be able to get the lingo right.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked a little bit about, I love this, critical path lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about surveillance. That's another kind of cool word in cameras.
Yeah.
Take me through some of the other things that come to mind for you.
Yeah. So surveillance is an iffy word too, because a lot of people think of surveillance as like bad. Monitoring overall, and a camera monitoring is one way to do it as well. But there's all kinds of sensors that you can put throughout your home that help keep you safe, keep your home safe.
What does that mean and what does that look like?
Well, of course, you know, you've got smoke detectors.
Okay.
Right? We've had smoke detectors for a long time.
Gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So there are ways to tie your smoke detectors or CO2 detectors into your home automation. So for a lot
you
of different
ways. You hesitated to see if I could fill that in, that home automation piece. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Smoke detectors and CO2 detectors, I didn't even think about as part of what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's that. So think about this, for instance. Something happens.
Okay.
Fire happens. It sets off the alarm. You can detect it. But then also you can have programming set to where maybe whenever it's going off, you start flashing your outdoor lights.
Okay.
One, that can help emergency personnel find your home easier.
Which is huge.
Those few seconds can be the difference between a really bad day and an absolutely awful day.
Mm-hmm.
But then it can also, if you got these locks on your door, it can unlock your door to make it easier for them to get into the home.
Gosh.
So, mm-hmm. you know, there's technology overall, I think a lot of people sometimes can think of it as a scary thing.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
But it 100% is intended to make our lives better and easier. Now we can have some issues. You know, mm-hmm. maybe our personal contact gets limited because of technology. But overall, life's definitely better. And it's easier in a lot of ways because of all the different things we can put in our homes to improve our homes.
Is there a learning curve to technology, or are you finding that things are becoming more streamlined and overall not so intimidating to manage? The answer is probably both what you have.
Yeah, there right? is. There's definitely some sort of learning curve, but it's easier and easier. And that's where that home automation system comes in, a control system.
Okay.
Because what it does is take that learning curve that may be four or five different apps and brings it into one. And you really only have to worry about one.
So what does that look like when you talk about the actual, is it an iPad? Is it a phone? Is it a panel on my, what am I looking at? What am I seeing?
Yeah, all of the above, honestly.
Okay.
So for instance, one of the ones that we use most often is Control 4.
Control 4.
Yeah. So okay. Control 4 is the company. It's a control system. Now, it can be very, very simple and control my TV and my Blu-ray player, and that's all I wanted to control.
Got it.
Or I can start throwing things in like lighting, shades, security, all these different things. And you can access it from an app on your phone. You can access it from an iPad. They have specified wall panels that make it very simple. So we always recommend, for instance, if you're doing a Control 4 system, to have one or two wall panels in the home.
Okay.
They're never going to move. And they don't do anything other than the Control 4 system. So nobody's going to take the iPad and hide it somewhere.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's going to be very easy to get to.
Yeah,
it's right there with all the buttons. Very simple to find. Very easy to customize and make it. I mean, it's really what we're talking about is taking all of this technology and making it accessible and custom for whoever needs it.
Talk to me about unlocking and locking doors. I didn't realize that that was even an option either.
Yeah, so there's a lot of options for door locks.
Because I think that as we get older, again, I'm talking about young kids or aging adults, I would think that locking a door or unlocking it would be something that would be easy to forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of these things with control systems, they take security very seriously.
Okay.
So it's a whole lot easier to lock the door than it is to unlock the door.
Okay.
And that's what we really want. Right.
Yeah.
If anything, I want my door to be accidentally locked rather than left open all night.
Yes.
So you can have a program, for instance, that our guys can help with that when it's time to go to bed, we haven't even talked about voice assistants. You can use your voice or you can hit a button on the iPad and lights go off or dim to a certain way. So it's not completely dark. Your shades are closed. The AC changes and your door's all locked.
I think Sean's just trying to see if we're all paying attention. I want to, because you just said, oh, wait, we haven't even talked about voice assistants.
Yeah.
So what are ways to actually, what's the right word? Activate the system. You said voice system. Because what I'm thinking of is my dad. It would be so much easier for him to be able to voice activate than to probably maneuver on an iPad or.
Yeah, I mean, we see it left and right nowadays, you know, where we're heading into the holiday season now, and we're going to see even more of it. Google Assistant and Alexa.
Oh, is that like Alexa? Yeah. Oh, okay.
So those are two big ones we use, and we also have another one called Josh AI that we partner with as a voice assistant, home automation, voice automation.
How does that work?
It's pretty complicated in some ways, but it's very simple in others.
Like, hey, Google kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's with everything we're talking about, it's as simple or as
complex.
I want to say complex as much as comprehensive, maybe.
Okay.
As you want it to be. Some people want that voice assistant to do nothing other than play my music when I want my music played.
That's right.
Or you can control your lights, control your shades, control your TV with your voice.
Let's talk about shades for a minute, because I know that when I think of window coverings and window treatments, I think of them as kind of multifaceted. Number one, they can insulate, they can keep out sun, they can keep cool in and warm out. Mm-hmm. So that's a really important thing. Number two, they're oftentimes very cumbersome and they're very hard for young people or older people to navigate and negotiate. So I never really thought of them in the same sentence as home automation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, definitely. One, you mentioned just your window treatments and what that brings to your home, the value to your home. But then not having to worry about, hey, I want some more light in here.
Right.
You want the shade up.
Exactly. Or I'm facing west and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon and whoa.
Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. You can control that a lot of different ways. Or to take it out of your worry, you can automate it. You can program it to a solar clock that as we're starting to head towards sunset, start lowering the shade incrementally so that it's blocking the sun from coming in. I'm not looking out at the bright sun.
Wait, you can set it to a solar clock? Yeah. So what does that mean?
So let's say, you know, you're looking over the marsh.
Right.
And sunsets, you know, it's this time of year, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. Sunsets at 5:30.
Right.
Well, that sun is going to start beaming in that window about 3 o'clock. So about 2 hours before sunset. You can start with programming, lowering that shade in increments, however you want it, so that it blocks the sun. So you can mm-hmm. keep that view without having to worry about the increased heating costs or the sun just beaming in and kind of making everything uncomfortable.
Or the glare on my TV, just saying.
Yep, absolutely.
Because again, trying to tie all of this stuff together. It's amazing how when you're talking about it, Sean, I'm sort of getting an overall visual of how the pieces play together, where I thought it would be really tough to understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's my ultimate goal is to try to make this as easy as possible. That's what our designers are there for, is to figure out all these different pieces that you want to put together in your puzzle.
Okay.
And then make that puzzle super easy.
What's like the super, we've only got 30 seconds or about 30 seconds in this segment, so I have to ask, the super coolest, newest sort of, whoa. Was that a good one?
Yeah. I can think about it for a little bit right now.
Yeah. We'll have to think about that one for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Well, let me go on to another question, and we'll come back to that super coolest, grooviest thing ever. Is I want to talk when we come back about watches, because that was kind of an interesting thing. I also want to talk about, we haven't talked about sound systems. We haven't talked about surround sound. We haven't talked about, from a design point of view, I don't want to trip over a speaker. All of those things. I think, again, the more we talk, the more questions I have. So stay with us. We'll all be back here on Aging in Place.
Hi, I'm Henrik, the producer of Aging in Place podcast. If you'd like more information and transcripts of this podcast, visit agingInPlacePodcast.com. And now, back to Debbie Lyons with the next segment of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are talking to Sean Stewart from Custom Audio Video. We're talking about technology and home automation and demystifying it and learning a lot about it. And again, it's a great topic because the more you know, the more you realize you don't know and the more there is to know. One of the things I'm really, really, really curious about is you checked your watch.
Yeah.
I'd like to know about some of the ancillary pieces that sort of tie into home automation. You found a great Forbes article on technology and aging. And I find a lot of what that said to be interesting too.
Yeah, there's so much with technology. And we've talked a lot about kind of the protective side of things.
Yes.
How do I make sure that my house is secure? How do I make sure that I'm not tripping over things because the lights are off? How can I monitor where my mom, make sure she's fine if I'm out of town?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also just using technology to increase the interactivity, the engagement and enjoyability of life.
Which makes a lot of sense because I know as we get older, there's a lot of isolation. And I see it even with my dad. He spends a lot more time on the television or listening to music as a way to stay socially connected. What about that? I know there are new TVs. I mean, they're fantastic TVs that look like you're right where you are. Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about those.
Yeah. One of the great things I think in today's world with technology is video conferencing, right?
Oh.
Whether it's FaceTiming or Google Duo, or I mean, even Control 4 that we talked about has intercom ability to go from a wall panel in your home to an iPhone somewhere.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So there's tons of options to interact with people.
So let's take that from an isolation or socialization point of view. Mm-hmm. I can have grandchildren in California and I can have a grandparent here. And that is a great way to not be isolated.
Absolutely.
That makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of ways that you can talk to each other. You can see each other. I was talking to somebody the other day whose grandkids just moved a couple states away.
Right.
And the thing that they hate the most was they seem to age so much faster when you don't see them every day.
Oh,
you know,
that makes a lot of sense.
When you can video with them, it kind of takes that away and it brings that grandparent, grandchild relationship to a new
right
level.
There.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about really important things, because I know all the guys who are listening are like, yeah, this is great. But could you tell me about TVs and what's hip and cool and some audio surround systems? And what about music? We got to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's right in our wheelhouse of what we do.
Okay.
With custom audio video, I mean, audio video. We love great TVs. We love great sound systems. And I think you probably talked to one of your other guests about creating spaces in your home that are enjoyable to be in.
Yes.
And that's what we do as well. We want to create great experiences with your spaces.
So what does that look like? What would that feel like? How do I even begin to put that together from a design point of view?
Yeah. So there's all kinds of ways to do that. And it really, like,
I
don't want to keep repeating myself on it, but this, it really depends on how much, what kind of scope do you want to go with?
Exactly. And, well, let's do this. Yeah. When cost is no object, let's have a wish list.
Well, I mean, my cost is no object. Dedicated theater room somewhere in my house.
Okay.
So, you know, great big projector with a great screen, incredible sound system.
Well, let me say this, and you and I have talked about this before with sound. I found that the older that I get, and I have hearing aids, the older I get, the more sound is really important to my quality of life.
Yeah.
And actually, when we've talked before, that's a huge thing with people now, the sound systems, being able to have that kind of quality. And you said the sound capabilities are, wow.
Yeah, we get a lot of people who go, you know, don't worry too much about sound. My hearing is going out anyways. And I get the logic behind it, but it's actually the opposite. When your ears start getting a little iffy, better sound helps because better sound, I always like to say, if you take kind of the spectrum of what a speaker can do.
Okay.
And if the sound waves it can hit are this.
Got it.
Versus this. Right.
Well, this
versus,
is great.
Versus small versus large. There a bigger range.
It's a podcast, so we have to say small versus large.
So a larger range that, that the speaker can do.
Got it.
The more difference you can hear in sounds.
Okay.
So you're watching TV. I think a lot of people have to deal with this. You're watching TV and there's a lot of stuff going on and somebody talking. I can't hear what they're saying. A lot of that is because all those sounds are coming from one speaker that has a small range. So it's very hard to differentiate. Where maybe a good surround sound system is going to take some of those background noises, the cars going by, and separate them into other speakers. And then the vocals are going to be dedicated to that center channel with a better quality that's going to let you differentiate a lot between the sounds.
Let me ask you a question about just soundproofing a room. Are there ways to do that if I already have the room intact and I'm going to try to, I've got the room, I'm just going to renovate it. What do I do about sound? How do I deal with making the room a better place to absorb sound?
Yeah, so soundproofing is pretty difficult.
Okay, all right.
So you want to start soundproofing as early as possible in the build process.
Got it.
Because a real soundproof room is going to essentially be disconnected from all the other systems in your home.
Okay.
But once you start realizing that, okay, well, how do I sound easier?
Okay. Right?
How do I not bother my neighbors? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to improve the acoustics of a room.
That's what I'm trying to ask.
We've talked a lot in the past about essentially removing the room from the equation. Right. And if you got a room that's drywall or it's wood paneling or it's designed for it, it's got, you know, good acoustic walls. You want to still remove it from the equation when it comes to what kind of sound quality am I getting? And there's ways to do that. There's technology in receivers, for instance, that can can run some tests in the room, and it essentially detects the room. And it removes it from the equation. It's a little more complicated with that. A lot of computer programming and algorithms.
Mm-hmm. I'm just mesmerized sitting here listening to it. But are there things like canvases? Can artwork absorb sounds? Are there other ways that we can absorb sounds that are a little more just natural?
Absolutely. We have some pieces on the wall, for instance, that look like a great picture. In fact, they are pictures that somebody on our team took when they were on vacation. And you can get them printed on this sound-absorbing material.
Oh, cool.
So it looks like nothing more than just a beautiful picture on the wall.
Right.
But it really improves the quality of the room. Because if you get a room that's full of drywall, hardwood floors, you know, a lot of reflective surfaces, sound's going to bounce everywhere, which is not great for the best sound systems. So it absorbs the sound, stops it from going everywhere, and really improves the sound quality.
One of the things that we've talked about in some of the podcasts and on one episode and specifically is the out of doors and how important it can be to health and wellness to be part of nature. Can we take the same technology outdoors now for outdoor living?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what does that look like?
All kinds of ways. Yeah. The most common ones that we see around here are sound systems outside, right? I've got a nice space outside. I'm looking in the marsh. Or I've got a beautiful wooded backyard and I want to kind of enjoy nature, but I also love music. I love that ability. Lots of different options for sound systems that you can put out there. Great on-wall speakers or in-ceiling speakers, or even some speakers that you put throughout your landscaping that hide. I mean, if you look around, it'd be really hard to find them. Mm-hmm. We like to call it the Disneyland effect.
I love it.
Right? When you walk around Disney World, you're like, I hear music, but I have no idea where it's coming from.
Well, and I'll tell you, I really appreciate you coming today, Sean. I've learned a lot. I think our goal today was sort of an overarching broad spectrum taste of what technology can do for the aging in place home.
Yeah.
And what we'd love to do is have you back and sort of get into some of these silos. I love your word. Get a little more specific.
If you have any more questions, we always say, you know, call, click, or come in. Our showroom's here in Bluffton, South Carolina, in Sheridan Park. We're always welcoming people to come in and see and experience what we've got. You can check us out at customaudiovideo.com. Or give us a call at 843-815-5130.
So thank you so much for joining us here on the Aging in Place podcast. Thank you all for joining us also. Stay tuned for the next episode.
For podcast links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host Debbie Lines and her expert guests discuss relevant topics for creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly podcast on aging in place for every stage in life. Transition through life where you are with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can start creating a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring.
I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. Light it up like a Vegas strip. Stub toes, bruised knees, countertop hit to the hip. All usually happen in the night, you know. Those water pills are keeping the blood pressure down, or the little one needs that last sip of water. All seem to happen after 8 p.m. or when the sun goes down. For safety, night lights are a must. There are ones that are motion activated, ones that simply come on when it's dark, and some that just stay on 24 hours a day. Whichever ones you choose, you will be glad you did. Light your path. Buy 4, 5 or more, walk the direction you need to take, installing them in every outlet, if it will prevent you from a fall or even an ouchie. Even your little ones may just get that last drink by himself if he wasn't afraid of the dark. So light it up like Vegas. Your toes will thank you. And that's your who knew.
Sean Stewart, you're a wonderful guest. And I tell you what, I learned so much about custom audio video and all the opportunities that are available. As always, it's fun to have our takeaway. What did we learn from this segment? I can be very clear. Here's what we learned. Don't be intimidated by technology. Don't be afraid to ask for help. What we learned today is the point of all of this technology is to make your life easier and simplify it, not to make it more difficult. So don't hesitate to call when it comes to technology. Thank you all for joining us here on Aging in Place podcast. Have a wonderful week.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lines, marketing by Aaron Lentz, and produced by Henrik DeGuer. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, Email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.